First, I want to thank the Lovies again for. Really, it was to begin with. It's a difficulty and it's an interruption, and an intrusion, even though it's a holy one. And then it wasn't supposed to be. It was already supposed to be that you were finished, and then to start again. So that's a gevaldig mitzvah, even more so than the first time. So it's really appreciated. We're on page Chav Beis. We're going to finish this kuntras tonight in Yetzer Hashem. I hope we'll finish this tonight, and then that doesn't mean we're finishing the inyan of Bigdan Lakav Schus. We still need to do some basic work on adapting some of this bapoil practically. So we're going to spend a couple of more shiurim, maybe one or two more shiurim on this inyan. And then once we're perfect in that, we'll move on to the next thing. So we were talking at the end last week, on page Chav Beis. So we were talking at the end last week about this Sfasem. This is not just the Sfasem, it's the other tzaddikim who explained that the greatness of the Akedah, of that parasha, of the binding of Yitzchak and Avraham Avinu's readiness to slaughter his child, that the greatness there was the exchanging of ways, which means that Avraham Avinu, whose entire life was devoted to what? To serving Hashem out of love. And his whole nida was loving kindness, was completely, completely chesed. For him to change and to adapt and to the nida of Yira, to accept that just because this is something that I'm used to, this is my way, this is what I'm comfortable with, this is who I am. Hashem was testing Avraham Avinu whether or not he would be a true servant of Hashem, which means that he would be willing and able to adapt to the situation, although it's something which is certainly contradicting his very nature, to kill his child. The whole need of Avraham Avinu is to give and is to care and to love and to nurture and so on. And here he's being asked to love. He's being asked to kill his son. So the need here of Avraham Avinu was that he was able to understand that even though it's not his way, there's something precious and special. There's something that God wants for me in the way of Yitzchak Avinu, because Yitzchak, of course, is dead. And on the other hand, Yitzchak, which I didn't explain at the end last week, Yitzchak, on the other hand, was also making an exchange. Yitzchak's entire midah, of course, Yitzchak's midah is din, is gevura, and so on. And over here, the offering of himself and the drawing close to his father, everything that was happening with Yitzchak was also not really consistent with his personality. So what the tzaddik is explaining, what Rabbi Tzvi Meir is explaining here is that in our effort to become better Jews and to be better people, in our effort to do that, we have to realize that those things in life that are kinegdenu, as we spoke about Barichas at length, that davka, the growth that I'm going to achieve is going to be primarily through being confronted with situations that are opposed to my nature, that are not my nature. So Hashem Yisbarach constantly tests us every time that you meet somebody who's not like you. That's a little bit of an akedah. Just like Avraham Avinu had to adapt to a situation which was so the opposite of who he was. And that happens to us all the time. And Hashem Yisbarach is constantly testing us, and the test is only means of motivating us to grow, and to what? To outgrow an immature insistence that it has to be dafka the way that I'm used to. It dafka has to be this way. The only way that I know to serve Hashem is with chesed. The only way I know to serve Hashem is by fear. Hashem Yisroel says that serving, being a true servant, being a true Eved Hashem, means being able to be flexible, to adapt to a situation in terms of what that situation calls for, and not assuming that your way, that you're comfortable with, that you're used to, is the only way. And that's exactly what we've been learning this entire kuntras, this entire teres on that subject. Same thing how we look at other people, how we judge other people. The main reason that we fall into negativity is because we're assuming that the world has to go in a way that's consistent with ourselves. This is the way that I do things. Even on the simplest level, we've been talking about even silly little things like how to run the house, how to dress the kids, what kind of nigun, what kind of music to like, and what person's tastes and so on. That we have this need to view the entire world through the tiny little prism, the tiny little magnifying glass of who we are, and that brings us into terrible negativity. Because it's very rare that someone is going to be exactly the way that you want. The harai, the proof is, there are a lot of divorces. I always think about this. It's a very sad thought. I think about this all the time. Today I had to spend hours in a certain fight, the thing that's going on with the courts and bathed in a whole crazy thing that I got schlepped into. And the divorce. And I was thinking, Rabbi Shalom. And I wanted to say it. I was talking to the woman was speaking with such hate about her husband. I mean, hopefully the get will be finished within the next 30, 40 years. So, but it was such a hatred, and I was so sad. I wanted to say, but I didn't. I was a good boy, but I wanted to say, but you went under the chuppah with him. There must have been, what was it? What was that? Like the way you're describing, like this horrible monster, such a villain. But either you're like totally misread this, or you were reading into it something that you shouldn't, you were reading into something you shouldn't have read into it. Something happened along the way. But these are two people who we would assume fit into each other's lives more than anybody else could possibly fit in. Someone says, okay, I want to marry. We have so much in common. We see the world the same way. We want to bring up the kids the same way. We're similar. We have similar hashkafa. We have similar this. We have similar that. And yet, how do they get so far apart? What happened? There are no simple answers. There are a lot of things, of course. But negativity, and that midah being dan lekaf chayv, judging somebody in a negative way, in a very unfavorable way, that primarily comes about because of my inability to budge from my expectations and from my way of looking at the world, that it has to be davka the way that I was raised, what I'm comfortable with, the way that I see things, and so on. So we're continuing, and this is what he's going to explain here is absolutely amazing. And we're going to go now over a little section of Chumash that all of us know since we're little children, and in a way, to understand this inyan. The Chaim inyan stone. Now, one of the craziest things in the whole Tanakh is what happened with stone, and there was the stuff that led up to the destruction of stone, and we've heard all these midrashim and Rashi brings down, and we're familiar with them, but he points out an amazing thing. He says, "Shem hayu hepach me'Avraham Avinu mamash." If there's any place in the world where you would say is not the right neighborhood for Avraham, you would say it's stone. It's the wrong neighborhood. It's that opposite of Avraham Avinu. He's loving kindness, and this is a place of horrible cruelty. Avraham Avinu amad v'espal v'eschanan aleihem. And still, Avraham Avinu was crying and begging and davening to save the place. Somebody, something, he tried to help, right? Vad hayom hatfilos halalu. And you know, the tzaddikim, morinayim, svasamis, all the tzaddikim explained that any time a Jew davens, emes, he davens with all of his heart, that davening is not stam lost. Davening means something. Even though we might not see the immediate results, we might not see how it works before our eyes, there's no such thing that the davening of a Jew is done like this. There's no such thing. So that's by a regular Jew. You can imagine it comes out from Avinu, right? So when we look at the Chumash, we see that Avraham Avinu was screaming and begging and crying to help out the people of Sodom, to save them. And in the end, it didn't work out, right? They were all killed. So we shouldn't think that, he explains. It says in the Sfarim, that va'ad hayom atfilos halolim o'ilos u'po'olos, that to this day, those tefillos of Avraham Avinu for people who are the opposite of him, for people whose every moment of life contradicted Avraham Avinu's way of life, those tefillos, mo'ilos u'po'olos, they're working. Tefillos elo hitzilos nishmas Mashiach mistam. So it seems to us that he didn't succeed in saving anybody. It's not true. You know that because of Avraham Avinu, Lot was spared, right? And everybody else knows that through Lot, and that very, very strange development at the time of the destruction of Sodom with his daughters, you all know that what eventually came from that was Rus, and Rus would be the grandmother, of course, the great-grandmother of David Malka Mashiach, so Mashiach was saved because of Avraham Avinu. Nobody, that always gets like just swept aside in the whole commotion. So everybody says, ah, it's too bad, and you put your arm around Avraham Avinu and says, Rebbe, you know, sorry, you know, your davening didn't work. And Avraham Avinu could say, no, every single time till the end of time you're going to be saying, B'mheir Yomeinu Amen, it's because of what I was poil, davening for a world, for a place that was the opposite of what I wanted. But my tefillahs were poil to save the neshama of Mashiach ben David. Because Lot was somehow saved. And it was Mischus of Avram Chazal, so we know that. It was the merit of Avram. Lot himself was not worthy. Even though there were points of worthiness, but it was all Avram Avinu did. He himself wasn't worthy. And he was saved. And that means that Mashiach came, that means the final redemption. The final redemption comes from the place of stone. And that's why Chazal said, Pasuk Matsosi David Avdi, I found my servant David, and Chazal asked, where did Hashem find him? In stone. Stone is the lowest point on the earth. And stone stands for Sod David Malka Mashiach, the secret of David HaMelech, is the letter stone. The Sudas David Malka Mashiach, which is Malava Malka. The name of Malava Malka. Right? As soon as I, so does David Malka Mashiach. So David Malka Mashiach, the secret of David Malka. So where did David Malka come from? Where does Mashiach come from? It comes from the tefillahs of Avraham Avinu. For who? For the lowest. For the worst. For the cruelest, the most selfish people. Now how selfish, look how selfish they were, it's not something we could even understand. Look at this. On page Chav Beis, on the right side, the last paragraph on the right side. Look, the people of Stone, they weren't just nasty. They made a science out of it. You know, there are people that have bad days, but all of us, like when you have a bad day, we feel lousy. The people of Stone, they had a mahalach. This was like, they wrote books about it. They produced movies. They wrote books. They taught it in the universities. It was a mahalach. It was a sheet of miuchedus. Zohayim mahalach miuchad. Shekach tzorach lahanigas yev esedar chaim. They believe that this is the right way to live. V'gamim neishav shiva yomim v'shiva leilus yev shalom lahazber a sheet azu. Now, if people like us would sit up 7 days and nights trying to figure this out, we can't understand. What kind of a sheet is that? What kind of philosophy is Stone? These are not idiots. The people of Stone are not idiots. They had a certain shita. They had a philosophy of life. And by the way, it comes back at the end of time. Like the generation of stone, the generation of marble, the generation of flog, and now there's a lot of that stuff around these days also. So what's the shita of stone? It says, it's a light. Now you remember when the two angels went to discuss his people to the house of Lot? And he took him in. Sof Lot came from the house of Avraham. He doesn't turn away. He can't turn away guests. Even though he himself was not such a great person, but when you come from Avinu's house, you have company, you let him in. So he took in the two strange men who were really angels, right? He took them in. And what did he do? He gave them, it's not like he gave them such a gewaldig meal. It says, Raknosn lehem gam melach, and he gave them salt, right? He gave them salt. Ma'isei noira. So Rav Tzvi Meir says, ugh, what a horrible thing. Can you imagine? He gave them salt. It's not like he gave them a 10-course meal. Now what happened? The people of Stom heard that Lot took in guests, and he had the nerve to give them something. He gave them a little salt. Whatever that means. And the whole town came to protest, to scream, to bang down the doors, to pull them out, and to do whatever they wanted to do, crazy stuff, right? The whole town. Now you could say, we understand that in every town you have some crazy people, so if two or three nuts came, and and they came to scream and to yell and to bang down the door, nope, you always have crazy people. But that's not what happened. Every single person from Stone came. Minar v'adzokein, it was a community-wide project. Just like you have like these anti-war protesters, right? Every minar v'adzokein, old people, young people. We can learn year after year. To learn the parasha Hashavua, to review the parasha, and we don't even pay attention to what a bizarre thing this is. We just read the Chumash, oh, the whole town of Sdom came up. Wow. Imagine what happened nowadays. Like a whole city coming because there's someone that had a guest. And the whole city came to go crazy. The Chaimus Mashi Yeshlan, the little Mavi Maya says, nobody even thinks about it. Kol Hayir, Ein Lahem Shum Dover Acher, nobody else in the city has something to do. What, there's like no Mahjong game going on? There's no Thursday night at the movies, there's no ping pong, garnish. The only thing that they have to do is every single person in Stom has to go to this house. Kol Hayir, Ein Lahem Shum Dover Acher, Shum Eisagach, Las Chutz Milov, Lulav, Lulav, to make a fight with Lot? Ma Kara, what's the giving? What was the big deal? Lot ain't a holy chitana b'shit yishol. Oh, the big deal was that Lot does not hold from our sheet. Our sheet, our philosophy of life is no guests. And Lot violated that. Kan bir anachnu kavanu shita shlo machnisim orchem. Our sheet, our policy is no orchem, no guests. Mikol shekin shlo nisim ha'mat, and certainly don't give them anything to eat, or you don't give them anything they can use. Now, what a chutzpah. Lot is an outsider. He moves into town. Not only did he violate the town ordinance, and he brought in what? He brought in guests. He also gave him some salt. He's a guest, he's a visitor, he's going to be a judge. How could he be different than Leo? So Zeh Stom, Reb Simaya says, this is the Shita of Stom. Even though Ein Lanu Shemetz HaSaga, it seems to us so crazy. But he's going to show that there's pieces of Stom in everybody. Vanshe Stom Roim, it says in the Pasuk, Vanshe Stom Roim V'chatoim LaHashem Ma'ay. It says that the people of Stom were evil and were sinning to Hashem Ma'od, very much. Isa Masadikim. Sadikim thought, Shanshe Stom Hayuroi Mechatoim, that the people of Stom were sinners, were evil, and Avozahay La Hashem Ma'od. What does it mean, La Hashem Ma'od? Oh, this is going to hurt now. Zahay La Hashem Shaman. It says, Roi Mechatoim, but it was La Hashem Ma'od. They believed, think about the Muslims, right? Not all Muslims, but most. Think about what's happening right now in the world. Every single day that Islam is tumulting in the guns of the belt, is making the whole world meshuggah with their ritzichas, with their murder and their bombs and so on. So, and it's all l'shem Hashem. Royim v'chatoim, and everything is under the banner of l'Hashem ma'od. This is very much for God's sake. Because they have a shita. They have a shita. You see it every one of these. You see when these murders, their hands are dripping with blood. There's a picture in the newspaper, the New York Sun, a bunch of the Rotschen, and they're standing there. They hold Korans up. Yeah. They're holding in their hands. They show the newspapers. They show the photographers a Koran. This is Hashem Ma'ay. This is not. We're not bad people. We're not bad people. It's Hashem Ma'ay. This is a shita. So how you against the shita? This was a way of life. This, they believe this is l'shem Hashem. So how could that be? What kind of a sheet is that? Not to have any guests? Not to give anybody to eat? What kind of a sheet is that? So look what he says in Berditcheve. Ukamay she'isa me Berditcheve Rav Schusi, again, in the Kedushas Levi. Sha'an she'istam tanu. What was the taina of the people? What was the sheeta? It's like this. Ima v'ina sh'vishmaim nice and lean. This is the sheeta. That if Hashem is Baruch wants me to have something, if he gave me something, Hariz Hasimman, Shazeshali. It's a simman that what? That it belongs to me. That he wants me to have it. V'zachelik Shali, and that this is my portion in this world that God wants me to have. Zanishba Alai, Ayveit Sina Hashefa Shali, and that Hashem is Baruch let down a specific pipe just to me to provide me with that chelik that's mine. And you know, there's truth to that. Everybody has this chelik. And if I give my chelik, and it's not silly, there's an oimik, there's a depth to this, that if I take from my chelik, my house, my food, my whatever it is, my chelik, and I distribute, I spread it around, so that's mamash apikorsis. That's heresy. Kol gargir melech sheyesh li shayach rak li. If there's a grain of salt, it belongs to me. Ki mavinu shu b'shamayim roitze losis le melech, hayu atzmi och litein le melech. If the Baruch Shalom wanted that guy to have salt, the Baruch Shalom would give him his, then his thing would, his package would include salt. That would be his hashgacha pratis. That would be the divine providence that would govern that individual's life. Zahayashita shleima mahalach shalom pechav gim. Now, that was a whole shita, and we could spend a long time, a couple hours, just talking about what does that shita, what does that mean, and how has that reappeared in modern times. But we don't have time to go into that right now. But the luma zeh, avma vina nichnas besakana, levakish aleim b'mesivus nefesh. Look what avma vina did. Unbelievable. Avma vina was really endangering his own situation to try with mesivus nefesh to pull them out. Ubike shalayim davke. Now this is the opposite of Avraham Avinu's shita. Avraham Avinu is what chesed l'Avram. The whole thing of Avraham Avinu was everything that Hashem gave me is only to give away. That's Avraham Avinu's life. There's nothing is for me. Avraham Avinu couldn't keep anything for himself. Everything is for everything I have is for the Baruch Hashem gave it to me only to distribute, only to give out. Right? I only have a house so that I could have arachim. I only have salt so that I could give somebody what he needs. And yet, so now, Avraham Avinu could have looked at this situation and said, "This is a shit, this time. Roim v'chatoim l'Hashem ma'oid. The only hope here is destruction. There's nothing, there's no tachlis." And what? And he davens for them. So he davened, he's saying because they were the opposite of him, his davening was even stronger. He reminds us, we don't understand Avraham Avinu, we're not on that level. But obviously Hashem is teaching us something in the Chumash. What was Hashem teaching us? That Avraham Avinu was worried about himself. He suspected himself. Because when he looked at this generation, and remember the distinction that Chazal make between Noah who didn't daven as he should have for the generation, and Avraham Avinu who did, right? Now when Avraham Avinu looked at this, he didn't have any chesed to daven, because he saw disgusting. He saw a shita of greediness and selfishness, even though he understood that it had this whole religious thing to it. It was the opposite of him. So Avraham Avinu suspected within himself that the reason I don't feel like davening for them is because they're so different than I am. They're so different, even though really, really in the end, like the Bedichtshuva said, you could find even a limud schus on this crazy apikorsis, that there is something you could say that they had some sort of a philosophy. It wasn't that they were stomp selfish, they had a philosophy. Even though if you would have asked any of us, like before we did, what was the philosophy of Stone, we would have just said they're like the nastiest people in the world. But the Bedichtshuva, he knew how to look. And the Bedichtshuva said, no, there was a sheet, there's Lashem Ma'od. Lashem Ma'od. So Avraham Avinu was worried that maybe the only reason I can't stand these people, meaning that I don't feel like davening for them, is because they're mismagged and they're so much opposed to me and they hate my way and they're against everything I believe in. Because they don't go in my shita, they don't wear my kind of yarmulke, they don't wear my kind of bekesh, they don't go to my kind of yeshiva, they don't eat my kind of shech, or whatever it is, and I can't see any good in them. But Avraham Avinu, Hashem is showing us, he is the embodiment of what, of that attribute that's called chesed, chesed, infinite kindness. And the people of Sodom are mamish the opposite of him. If you pour your heart out and you daven for somebody, that's what we're talking about Avraham Avinu. Even though, and especially when this person strikes you as being so different than you and so opposed to your whole way of life, you know what happens when you daven for such a Jew? Mashiach came from that. Because Mashiach came from Stam, from Lotan, from Moab, from Rus, from the whole thing, Dovra Melech. which is the remarkable ingredients, the recipe that brought Mashiach into the world, as you know, and I'm sure you spent much time learning over the years, you know that the recipe is a very strange recipe, and the Maral explains that if you want to make, the Maral says that, like when Chazal say, that Hashem told Avraham Avinu that the families of the world will be blessed through you, Chazal make a play on the word v'nivruchu, which is a lashon of havracha. V'nivruchu means blessed. It also means to graft. To graft. You know what means to graft? Like plants, right? To graft. And what's the v'nivruchu? That Rus HaMoavia came from Avraham Avinu. How could it be? Moav is utter cruelty. Absolute cruelty. Avraham Avinu's absolute kindness. So the Maral says that if you want to make the strangest, most remarkable, most mechudish dikit, most unique creature in the world, what you would do is you would graft those two that are furthest apart, but can still be grafted. Amalek is off the charts. You can't graft Amalek with the Jewish people. It's off the chart. It's like you can't graft a zebra with an earthworm. It's not in the same. It's not the same shkach. But Avraham Avinu was grafted. Moav and Avraham Avinu were grafted. Right, because that was the whole thing of Sodom and Avraham Avinu, and Lot and the daughters of Lot, and what amazing, amazing new neshama came from that, Mashiach came, that the Jewish people and Moab through Rus were grafted, the nivruchu b'chaz of grafting, came out the most remarkable neshama, the neshama of Mashiach, and this took place dafka through Avraham Avinu. Grafting his life with the life of people who are the opposite of him. And what came out from that? The most mechudish dikit. Not only did Hashem answer Avraham Avinu, so we think when we close up the parasha, when you finish parashas Vayera and Bereishis, you figure, alright, listen, Avraham Avinu, it didn't work. L'maisi Yadavni didn't work. What do you mean? Avraham Avinu's davening brought about the neshama of the one who's going to save the entire world, of the one who's going to bring back the entire world to serve Hashem's Baruch. That comes from the tefillah of what? It means from Avraham Avinu. That from Avraham Avinu's davening, even those human beings who are most diametrically opposed in their ways, in their thoughts, in their customs, every single one is going to come, except Amalek is not, but every single one is going to come back to Hashem's Baruch. In his way. In this different way. This one like this one like that. But everybody's going to come back through what? Through the tefillah of Avraham Avinu, who davened for a city, who lived in a way that was the opposite of him. So how does this work? So he says, Avraham Avinu hoy mispal al chaveru hu tzarach loisei dava. Hu nena tchilu. Now everybody here knows that the Gemara tells us that if you need something, but you daven for a friend who has a similar need, you really pour your heart out for that person, then what? Then you'll be answered sooner. You'll be answered quickly. So there are many questions about what that means. But on a simple level, one of the explanations of this is, that you need the same thing. So the simple thing is that you have one person that needs a shidduch, she needs a shidduch or whatever, he needs a shidduch, and there's a friend of hers or his that also needs a shidduch, and you daven for your friend, to get a shidduch, and then you'll get a shidduch. So a lot of people say, so then really I'm thinking maybe if I daven for him, that it'll work for me, so is it really for him? You know, these are the mental games. But on a deeper level, what does it mean? One of the tzaddikim explains that really it could be that what that person wants is the opposite of what you think is the right thing. And you still mispal. It's the opposite of it. It's the opposite. I had a very, very heartbreaking call last summer that there was a girl who liked a guy. I'm not talking about teenagers. I'm talking about their, you know, shidduch age. She was introduced to this guy, and she liked him. And her best friend, somebody read a shidduch for her best friend with this guy. And she was like chalishing. She just didn't know how to go about finding someone who would make the phone, you know, to make the shidduch for her. And in the meantime, unbeknownst to her friend, like, you know, she chapped. And the girl was calling her up every night, saying how excited she was, it's going great, you know. And this girl was like falling apart. And so I was talking to her for a long time, and you know, I was getting like every day she called me about the last thing that she had, the conversation with a girl, with her girlfriend. And you know, she was feeling miserable, and then she felt miserable about she felt she was losing her this guy, A, and B, what kind of a terrible person am I that I'm so, like, you know, I want to rip my friend's eyes out and kill her, you know, all that stuff. So I said, look, after I saw it sounded like it was really, really getting serious, and they were already talking. It sounded like, because the friend's saying, oh, we're planning a vart. So I said, look, they're planning a vart. So I think that at this point, you know, I think it's Dayenu, you know, we should let go. And really, really, I'm asking you to try this. And I said, look, I'm not, you know, I'm just saying what Chazal say. I'm saying, just daven for her. At this point, daven for her with all of your heart. That if that's your zivig, it should be matzliach, and they should be happy. She said, I can't. I said, you can't, because at this point, there's not going to, the other way, it's not going to be a good thing. So with all of your kaychas, and Chazal promised that you'll see that it'll be good. And you know something, Baruch Hashem, there was a vart, 3 weeks after the vart, she met a guy, and 2 weeks after that, she had her own vart. Mm-hmm. By September, she had her own vart, that girl. Mm-hmm. She said that she was davening, she went through the whole Sefer Tehillim for her friend, that she'd be with Hatzlach. It should work. And Hashem is Baruch. How he runs the world, we'll never figure out these things. But this was the opposite of what she wanted. She was thinking, he's not for you, he's for me. He wanted to tell her, listen, honey, you got it wrong. There's something got mixed up over here. I was supposed to go out with him, not you. And it's the hipuch, mamish the hipuch. And she davened, even like Avraham Avinu was davening for stone. And those tefillahs bring back Mashiach. Those tefillahs for the opposite. If you have a child that's difficult, the tefillahs for the children that do everything you want, those are also very good. Right, but the tefillahs for the children that do the opposite of what you want, those tefillahs bring about Mashiach. Those tefillahs bring that child up to the highest place. And a lot of parents are frustrated with the difficult kid. The difficult kid, your kishkes come out. And it's so hard, the difficult child. If you daven for that child, the tefillahs that you put for that you put into the world for that you offer that Shem's work for that child, those tefillahs are going to bring that child to the biggest madrega, bigger madregas you could ever have imagined for any of the children. Davke from the tefillahs for the child that is the opposite of your teva, because Hashem's Baruch, as we spoke many times, Hashem's Baruch, you know, last week I mentioned that we're tested in such a way. So you see a child that's the opposite. You see, gee, I don't know. I'm like, I have this personality, and my kid is everything. It's against everything that I am. So how do they have a kid like this? And you spend like all this time waste your time thinking about just silly thoughts like how did they have a kid like this? What's the nafkim? How you? That's the metzias. That's your kid. What do you mean? How did it happen? So what are you gonna? Why think about that? That's the metzias. The metzias is that the kid doesn't want to do everything you want. The kid's gonna happen. And if you say it's day, no, it's night, it's day. And yes, chesed is din, and din is chesed. Everything's gonna happen. Everything is the reverse. So once the person lets go and says, look, okay, my child, you know, this is the mitzvah. And to daven for the child, that the child should be matzliach in her way, in his way, should have hatzlach. It doesn't have to be my way. Of course, in my opinion, in Yiddishkeit, of course, in Teremissus, in Yiddishkeit. The other day I was someplace and I met an old Jew I hadn't seen in like 35 years. I was good friends with his son. I was so happy to see him. He's a Jew that was in Krakow before the war. You know what happened to Krakow? It's not Mishnah. A Churban. And he climbed out of that by himself. He was like in the concentration camp for 3 years. He's a special person. So I was so happy to see him. He aged a lot. And I was sitting with him, and I said to Mr. So-and-so, we were talking about his children and grandchildren. I said, you know, you have such nachas from the children and the grandchildren. And his eyes got all red, and he said, don't say that to me. I said, what? Nachas? What could be better than nachas? He said, Yiddish nachas. That's what he said to me. Don't tell me nachas. Nachas this way. I want Yiddish nachas. If you tell me that my son learns Gemara, my grandchildren go to yeshiva, the girls, the granddaughters that they're from, that's Yiddish nachas. That's what he said to me. Yiddish nachas. So, I'm sure we're talking about Yiddish Anachis, but it doesn't have to be your specific description of how that should be. And from those tefillahs for the child that's not like you, Mashiach Ben Dodo came from such a tefillah. came from the tefillah of Avraham Avinu. Look what he says. When we come with Tavis Chaver Mespalalav, even though you see that it's the opposite of you, you still you daven for that person. Who's Zoichev and Enet Chilah? So you answered what it means. First, I'm not going to continue being answered first, but you answered. Vizema Shahir Lono Avraham Avinu Velimid, I saw no. And this is what Avraham Avinu was teaching us. Ayin Taiva, a good eye, an Ayin Taiva. An ayin toiv is such a precious midah. Ein kezem mahalach lachshev shushanim emeni. It's not my inyan that he's different than I am. Hu yesh leshita acheres. He has a different shita. Avinu mespal alayim kedei lekev lishbez hargosho zu. Avinu was worried. He suspected himself that it's so hard for me to daven for them. He broke through that. He broke through that initial gut reaction. He broke through it and he davened for them. And the Baruch wants us to learn from this. That in each and every one of us, there's a certain yetzer, there's a certain inclination. In every single person, there's a little yetzerah that's called stone. It has a label on it, stone. Every one of us has a little yetzerah that's called stone. That what does that mean? So every one of us says, what do you mean? I have a little bit of stone. How could that be? I would give. I wouldn't go like get up in the middle of the night to go back. It's complaining that somebody had a guest. And look what happened over there. Not one person stayed home. He's very upset about that, you see. Everybody came. There wasn't one tzaddik in stone. There wasn't one person who was enough of a tzaddik that it would keep him home that night. Even though, why couldn't one person stay home and just scream and say that load is terrible? At least from the house to yell. No, everybody got up. Not only that, Chazal say, I gave a little bit of salt. Chazal say that the sick people got out of bed. And Zakenim, all the hospitals, all the nursing homes, every place emptied out in stone. Can you imagine? Kulam bom, Amitas Chalim, everybody got up from their sick beds. Limchay Saladar, to protest this terrible thing, because they saw this as what? La Shemayd was happy curses. He's saying that obviously sarcastically. No one could find a reason to exempt himself from this mitzvah of going to yell it loud and pound on the door. Because what was it? So why is it that every single old person they all went? Because they couldn't believe that there's somebody has the nerve to live in our city. Not only that, he's a relative newcomer and he doesn't follow our shita. He doesn't go according to our way. We don't have a little bit of stone. Everybody has a little bit of this stone in him. Everybody, a little bit. How dare you not go by my sheet? How could that be? And you'll get up and you'll go and you'll be upset. You're all right. You might not get up in the middle of the night. They really, really were very religious people. They were Hashem Ma'ayit. They were Hashem Ma'ayit. And you see, when it comes to the Muslims, students of mine that were born in Tehran. I have many, many students from Tehran. They tell me that they used to be like, you know, you're walking on the street, and then like one of the imams, you know, one of their leaders, one of the galochim, their religious leaders, the clerics, calls out on the loudspeaker and it goes around the whole city. My students told me that like in 15 minutes there are millions of people on the street like davening. But lahavdol, by us, you could put a newspaper for 5 weeks. We're having a rally, you know, and they have to like pay guys to go, and it's a whole thing to get together a little bit of an island. And they told me that you go in Tehran, you stay like in a few minutes, there are millions of people, and they're all screaming and crying and davening and the whole thing, a whole tumult. They were religious people in Stone. Every single person got out of bed. Every sick person, every man, woman, and child went, because they held it was not because. How could you take in a person? You're tampering with God's divine providence. He didn't want that person to have a house in stone. If he wanted him, he would live here, whatever. He didn't want him to have anything to eat. He would give him what to eat. He would give him a house. Whatever their shita was, but the B'ditchu explains. But it was Lashem Ma'ayit. It wasn't stam. They're not crazy people. They had a ma'alach. We have our own shita. Who's this guy coming in? The new guy in the neighborhood with his ideas. Does he have to do it? Whoever doesn't do like we do is in big trouble. This is called the Yetzer of Sdom. And when you see it in yourself, the Rebbeinu Shlom is saying to you, remember what happened, and be oikeh this, rip this out of you. And the strongest way is to daven for that person, to daven for that person who doesn't have exactly your way, to try to see good in the person, to be damakav schus, to melamed schus on that person who is the other way than you are. And from that you'll have a Mashiach in your life, you'll have a ghoul in your life. Shem b'china shel stein. That's the Yetzer of stein. Let's skip a little bit, because I want to finish this now, the Kuntres. He reviews a little bit on page Chav Dalet, he reviews a little bit about how this way of life can give a person the most amazing, amazing simcha. This way of life gives a person the most wonderful, wonderful simcha, because instead of situations that are kinegdo, that are opposed to him, bringing him down and getting him upset and getting him angry and causing him to be diminished, it's dafka the opposing situations that bring out the Mashiach in him, that bring out the best in him, that bring out his strongest tefillos, his greatest moments of compassion, dafka from the kinegdo. So he says that the whole, that person's entire life is mamish filled, is filled with simcha, and he has a whole different way of looking at life, and he becomes a person that has much more savlonis, he's more tolerant of people, he has much more tolerance, and tolerance is dafka the time that we're living, with the time that we're living in now, where we have so much lachas, there's so much pressure, and there's so much negativity, and you know, there's no savlonis, there's so much intolerance for people who are different. There's so much intolerance. Even when I say different, I'm not talking about between Orthodox, Conservative, and Reformed. I mean, among our own type, amongst the Orthodox themselves, in one place, in one community, in one shul, in one family, there's so much intolerance from anybody that's a little bit different. But even though it might not be your way, and you want to raise your children a different way, but to be intolerant, and the lashonis that you hear, people are saying, they're talking about each other, this one's mar, this one's this one's fafrumt, this one's fachnyok, this one's a lipfak, a chosid, all these lashonis that we're talking about, that are meant, alright, we all have, we use them in a joking way, the Galician like this, Hungarish, but when people really mean seriously to make differences between Jews, Asfardi and Ashkenazi and so on, or people that have a different way, people that have a different mahalach, and I saw this, you know, you see this, it's a very, very painful thing if people that they talk so negatively about, you have people talking so negatively about yeshiva people, about the B'nai Torah, about whatever in Eretz Yisrael, you have the people in Eretz Yisrael, and you have people talking negatively about the ones that are not such B'nai Torah, and you know, I don't have to explain. And there's such intolerance, there's no savlonis for anything. Rina?
Earlier in the year,
you said that
you don't have to be
down
the
class to
as long as the person is following
halacha,
even if
they
don't understand it.
Right.
So, in Sodom, it wasn't like
they were
doing anything wrong against.
No, he wasn't. Yeah. No, you remember what Sodom we learned, right? So we were talking about, in this situation, it wasn't like Avraham Avinu was saying that their shita is acceptable. Avraham Avinu knew that shita, even though they thought it was Hashem, remember we learned different levels, so I'm glad you brought that up. So one way of being down the Kavskos is try to figure out, to say, no, really, that really, you know, it's really, I don't understand, I don't really know what they're doing, but really there is a mitzvah. No, Avraham Avinu knew that this was terrible, this was horrible, this was against God's will. He knew that. And he wasn't judging them in a way to say that this was, that really there was something good about it. It was terrible. However, it was terrible, but it wasn't something which was stam, an act of cruelty, even though it's wrong and it has to be eradicated from the world, and Hashem has to destroy stam. But what? They have a different belief, and because of this different belief, these are people who have the capacity to be very religious, even though they're all messed up now. And if somehow if they could have a tikkun, this religious energy could be retracted and could be brought into holiness. And that's what he was hoping for. That maybe we could salvage this energy. It's tremendous energy in stone. You see that every sick and old person got out of bed and was screaming and yelling. That's not bad, right? So Abraham, he knew that this was wrong. He didn't want this in the world. He's not malamaschus on this sheet. She's crazy. It's a crazy sheet. It's crazy. It's perverse. It's wrong. And he wasn't trying to say that it's right, but he was saying it's not stam. They're nasty people. They have a lot of tremendous energy. In the end, Yishmael's going to have a tikkun. Esav's not going to. Amalek's not going to have a tikkun. In the end, Yishmael's going to have a tikkun. Yishmael doesn't have to be destroyed. They have to be fixed. And they have a lot of energy. There's a tremendous amount of energy there. But it's wrong. It's wrong. It's crazy. Now, I want to the end of the kuntres comes back to Shabbos, and I have a cheshek. I have a cheshek to end with. He talks about how especially on Shabbos. If you turn the page that I gave out, you know that has the blank side. The last page is Chav Vav. So this is going to be about candle lighting, because I wanted to end. It should be something which is befrat that you'll be able to work on and think about already this Friday night. And then we have the Yontif coming up, a lot of candles in Yitzhak Shem. So listen, we'll do it quickly. Av mavinu meyer lanu kol hashuvu befrat me'erev Shabbos kodesh bizman chatzais shayidei kol pratu prat from alamas haShabbos karoi mekabim shefa otzum shel karet hayvro mavinu olu b'shalom. He was giving this talk during the parashiyos of Avraham Avinu in Cheshvan, right after Sukkot. That's when he gave the shiur. See, he was saying that these parashiyos, these Shabbos, especially, of course, are filled with the light of Avraham Avinu. But every Shabbos, because Shabbos is very much connected to Chesed, but especially when it's the parashiyos of Avraham Avinu. And therefore, he says these parashiyos give us the strength of Avraham Avinu to last us l'kol hashana for the entire year, l'kol hachaim, and for one's entire life. Especially this light of Avraham Avinu, which is the light of what? A good eye, a positive way of looking at things. Right now he's speaking more specifically. Here he's addressing the men, that when it comes to Shabbos, the Torah learning that you could do, the learning, I mean, it applies to women also, but usually the schedule of women does not permit as much. It doesn't give them as much leeway to do this, but the learning on Shabbos before davening, kodim tefila b'boker, zman shel mayim and hasinai, it's like you're standing in Harsinai. Zman shel paska zuhamasan, it's a time when it's like when we stood at Harsinai and the Yetzirah was gone. Shabbos, the Yetzirah is inactive. Gehenim is not working on Shabbos. The fires of Gehenim are at rest. Shabbos, when you learn before davening, when you learn in the morning, when you learn late at night, the learning is a different learning. It's like you're by Har Sinai, Misayim Ma'il Kabbalah Shafish Layin Toiva, and therefore the learning on Shabbos will help you very, very much to look at things in a good way, in a positive way. Shazuz Mansha Misayir Ha'or Shal Vayichan Yisal Kishach Ablevech. Do you remember that it says that by Har Sinai, it says Vayichan, that the Jewish people encamped there, and it says in the singular. So Rashi brings down from Chazal, why does it say Vayichan, that they encamped in the singular? It should have said Vayachanu. So Rashi says that's the famous Chazal, Kishach Ablevech, that all Jews were mamlish united. Even though Harsinai, they're all different types. They're all different types, different short and different types and so on. But when you're standing by Harsinai, you see the good in everybody. Since the Shabbos is like by being by Harsinai, the Torah was given on Shabbos. And when you're standing by Harsinai, then you're able to look at your neighbor and say, you know, you're talking not as bad as I thought. You're not as bad as I thought. You're pretty good. On Shabbos, you can see the good. Well, Kamei Shisim Avarki Rabbi, Susi Agenlein, Vayichan B'loshen Chayin, and therefore the Tzaddik from Vorkis says that Vayichan, which means to encamp, has in it the word chen, which means to see beauty in somebody. When you're really learning Torah in a real way, in a Shabbos to go away, you're able to see good in what every Jew does. You're able to see chen. Even if it's not your way, you can see chen in him. Father Rabbi Machshav Miyako, so I value that person. And I feel so fortunate that I could be this person's friend, that I could speak to him a little bit, even though his way might be different. Like any person feels when you go to see a tzaddik. That you know how you feel such a privilege that if I get 5 minutes to talk to the tzaddik. This is how you have to feel when you talk to any Jew. And I want you to know that if Tzvi Meir is like that, he wouldn't talk to you. I'm sorry, he doesn't talk to women. But he's like that with every single person that he speaks to. Every little child, every adult. You feel like, he says, it's like the biggest schus. It's the biggest schus. when we were zeichah to have him last year in the shul. So I was nervous because his flight was like in an hour and 15 minutes. And the gabbayim was saying to me, we got to get him out of the shul, we got to get him going to the airport. And so I was trying to, the guys were like attacking him, you know, they wanted to talk to me after the shmooze. And I was trying to get the guys away, and he said, no, he says, I can't, no. I said, Rabbi, see, now you're going to miss your flight. He said, I'll get another plane. And the guy was like, you know, and his wife is waiting with the, you know, we got to get out of here. He doesn't have the heart like Mamish is such an ahava for Jews. It's a very, very remarkable thing. It's like the privilege to talk to a Jew. It makes no difference if you come to him like this with a big yarmulke, a hat, a shram. You come to him like we have many that have the different people that go to him with a knitted yarmulke, a guy from Bush, from Kambiav, ahava, unlimited love. It's an amazing thing. What a schus I have to talk to you, just to sit next to such a Jew. To speak to him, to have the privilege to see this person, to say to him a good Shabbos. Hashem gave me a gift to pass this person on the street, to say to him a good Shabbos. Every single Shabbos, the Torah is being given to us again. And when the Torah is being given to you, feel that the Jew next to you is good. You see the chayin. The Gemara says that everybody agrees the Torah was given Shabbos. Kol Shabbos kredes Yehudi Yoch Liskos Lagiel Levayichan. Every Shabbos is a special potential for each and every one of us to see more good in others, to work on our ayin taiva, to daven for an ayin taiva, to have a good eye, to feel the chayin, to appreciate another Jew, even though that Jew is not like me. That Shabbos especially, that this Jew, even though he's different from me, Hashem, let me see the chayin in his customs. Let me see the chayin in his way of being a parent. Let me see the chayin in his way, in her way of behaving. To be mezazel, to look down. Every single Shabbos was zeichah that what? That the garment of skin, that after Adam and Chava ate from the tree, Hashem gave them the garments of leather, of skin. But in the Sefer Torah of Rabbi Meir, it said, kosnos or, with an aleph. And the Sfarim said that on Shabbos, the or with an ayin, which means skin, which means covering, which means distance, which means ugliness. Is transformed into a kosnos or a garment of light, like it said in the Sefer Torah of Rabbi Meir, or with an aleph. I could take kedushas neir Shabbos, especially when you're lighting the Shabbos candles. Sheyehudi mistakel b'ham b'shas kiddush. So the women have this chus that they can stand by the Shabbos candles and daven by the candles, and you daven for your children, you daven for all Yiddish kinder, but you should daven to see the good in your friends, to see the good in your husband, to see the good in a brother, a sister, to see the good in every Jew. And then the men, when they come home, they're standing there, you know, that according to the minig is that when you make them kiddush, except when you make Baruch Pei Geffen, when you make Baruch Pei Geffen, the man's supposed to look at the kais, then you're supposed to look at the glass. And tell this to the men who are making kiddush in your family, that when you make kiddush, you're supposed to look at the candles, which means you have to memorize it. But even if they don't know it by heart, even if you don't know it by heart, it's okay to look. You know, you look up and down a little bit, but they should look at the candles, because the inyan of what the inyan then is that your eyes can become a higher inyan, your eyes become purified to have an ayin taiva. It helps you to see the world like Avraham Avinu. The women can stand by the candles for half hour, whatever it is that they have time. But they're able to stand by the candles, to sit by the candles, to look at the candles, and to daven that the candles, that what, that my eyes, that I should have the eyes of Avraham Avinu, that I should be zoichah to see things in a good way. Zoichah, and the men, at least b'shas kiddush, that the men should be able to look at the candles for a second or two by kiddush, and the eyes are purified. It can turn the eyes around, that the eyes should be good eyes, should be good eyes. So you know, Shabbos is called Sashtikal Olam Haba, Me'ein Olam Haba, right? It resembles Olam Haba, Me'ein, and you know the word Ein is the same word as what? Ayin, which means eye. So Sadiqim taught Shayideha Ayin Zeichim L'Kedusha Shabbos, that a person who tries to see things in a good way, even during the week, he's zeichet to feel the Kedusha of Shabbos in the most amazing way. the b'chinas olam haba. When you see things in a good way, you're not negative, you're not angry, you're not, you don't look at things in a bad way, then that's already a main olam haba. Then you're already a little bit in Gan Eden, because the whole Gehenim is to be nasty, to be upset, to be negative. That's Gehenim. You could have the biggest house, you could have the nicest kids, the best husband in the world, you could have a good panasa, everything. And if you're negative, nothing is good. Me'ein alam haba is when you see things in a good way, when you're down the kaf schus, when you have Shabbos de ge'oigin, Shabbos de ge'ayis, then that's an olam haba. That's an olam haba because that person could be living in a little shack, but everything is good. I have the best wife, I have the best kids, I have the best job, everything is good. Like it says in Pasuk, you're able to, in this world, to have a taste of the next world, which is what Shabbos is all about. Just another 2 minutes. When you look at the Shabbos candles, you can have such an amazing tanuk, such a great pleasure and delight. When it's about lichtig, right? It becomes mamish lichtig. It shines. What does that mean? The Shabbos candles make everything shine. It gives you the ability to see everything in a different light. And you should daven for this when you light candles. You should daven. You should see your husband. You should see your friends in a good light, and the children in a good light. Not just that they should be lichtige kinder. We all daven should be lichtige kinder. But I should see them in a good light. Shabbos mechabes and menakes a Yehudi. Shabbos cleans a Jew. It purifies a Jew. After you took a shower for Shabbos, you went to a man goes to the mikveh for Shabbos. Then what? It says in the Gemara, put on your Shabbos clothing. It says in the Gemara that he used to put on his talis with the tzitzis. Tzitzis is the word, which is the lashon of matzis, which means to look. Tzitzis means to look at something. Lahatzitz means to look. Because on Shabbos a person is zeichet to look at things in a himmeldik, in a heavenly way, in a different way. Because you become mamish like a malach Hashem, like it says in the Gemara about the tzaddik, he would go to the mikveh and then he would put on this talis with the tzitzis and he became like a malach. He looked like a malach of Hashem. Every Jew can be that way on Shabbos. Who zeichet la'ayin taiva, it means to see the good. The same way that Hashem doesn't look at the bad in Jews, that you become more like Hashem on Shabbos, not to see bad in Jews. And what? He separates himself from what? From the evil eye, shall Bilam, the negative eye of Bilam. Right? You have a taste on Shabbos of Olam Haba. If you try to make your Shabbos mamish into Shabbos with the eating and the singing and the Torah and the davening and the warmth of a family, if you do that, you're going to see that the whole Shabbos is more lechtig and your eyes become purified, especially during the Shabbos of Avraham Avinu, the Shabbos of those parishes of Avraham Avinu, and you could smell, you could breathe in Avraham Avinu on Shabbos. You go to shul and Avraham Avinu is going with you. When you come home, Avraham Avinu, Avraham Avinu is walking with you into the house. You see every child with the eyes of Avraham Avinu. Zemesayil kabel shef, and that draws brach into the children's lives. And you tell the children stories about Avraham Avinu, and how Avraham Avinu used to take in guests, and the way he had a special tent that everybody could come from all sides. It's not stam stories or what. Kaven Shalimatim Ladabra Miyashubinun or Miyisu Pashazuas Masapum Hamalavrom Avinu. It's not, well, it happens to be this parasha, so it's not. We're not talking about Yisro or Moshe anyway. We're only talking about Avraham Avinu. It's not like a stam that Hashem's Baruch wants you, especially during those parashas of Avraham Avinu, to pour into the children, pour into yourself the way of Avraham Avinu. And the kol olam chai v'noishim is Avraham Avinu. When you're going through a parasha, the parasha that you're in of the week, it's mamish that tzaddikim from that parasha, that inyan is with you in the week. It's everything in the week is that parasha, is that inyan. And as we said, Mamash B'yad is that you could touch with your hands the Kedusha of Avinu. The more you live Shabbos the right way, the more you're going to be able to feel Avraham Avinu. Not if you spend Shabbos obviously reading some ridiculous, novel or an Irish guy, the newspapers or whatever it is. But if you live Mamash this way, you're going to be zeichet to the eye in Torah of Avraham Avinu, to have the eye of Avraham Avinu, the Mesivus Nefesh, the Mesivus Nefesh of Avraham Avinu, to break through your Mida, to serve Hashem in the way that Hashem wants you to serve Him, for that moment, even though it might not be what you would rather do. Lias Yoyses Avech is to be a person that's more capable of fighting a Yetzahar. Shuv v'shuv zeichem lakad Yoyser v'yoyses kol b'chinas adin, you're going to be able to tie down and to prevent din, judgment, God forbid, from coming into your home. To the degree that you can strengthen the light of Chesed of Avraham Avinu and to daven, especially during candlelighting, you're going to be able to tie down the Yitzchak, so to speak, the Gvur, the Din, the judgment and the strictness, Chas Shom, that none of us want to have, God forbid, affect us. You could tie down, you could make an Akedah Yitzchak, that the Din should not, God forbid, come into your home. That the home should be a home that's a lichtiger home. And that when people live in a house that way, that's filled with Avraham Avinu, that's filled with Shabbos, that's filled with that light of Shabbos, so then it keeps dinim away. It keeps all the dinim out of the house. The Malach HaMavis goes away from that place. The Malach HaMavis doesn't have a shaykhs in such a house. Only what? The two good, the Malachim come in, the good Malachim, and they see that people love each other. And they see that there's Shalom, and Shabbos Shalom. And Jews say, when they come home, Shabbos, Shabbos Shalom, a good Shabbos, and there's a hav in the house, then the Malachim are good Malachim. And the Malachim want that house to be a house that's filled with good health, and with panasa, and with a hav, and with Shalom Bayis. That's what Shabbos is all about. So Hashem's Baruch should help us that we should be able to focus on this and to try not just to learn about it but to live this way, and since we have a little bit of a preparation for Shabbos and for the Yom Tov and Yontiv is with Shabbos, Baruch Hashem, this time. I know that's not easy for the housewives, but Shabbos with Yontiv is an unbelievable thing, that we should be able, Hashem Zeichet, to have some of this of Avraham Avinu's eyes, and to remove the little pieces of stone, that we should deserve Mitzvah Shem to see the arrival finally of the one who was born in stone, the one who comes from stone, David Malka Mashiach.